Praise God. I want you to say this. Say it out loud. Just say it out loud. Say, God will never leave me.
God will never leave me.
And he will never forsake me.
And he will never forsake me.
Now tell somebody else that. Say, God will never forleave you. He will never leave you. Start over. I messed up. Start over. Tell them. Say, God will never leave you. And he will never, ever, ever, ever forsake you. Hallelujah. Shout about that, will you? Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. All right. You got your Bibles, right? You got the Word of God with you. Turn, please, to the book of Colossians. Book of Colossians. First chapter. Colossians, the first chapter. Hallelujah. Now, in Colossians, the first chapter, I want to read two or three verses here, beginning at verse 12. Well, let me see if I want to begin at verse 12. I might want to back up a little bit. I tell you what, let's back up to verse 9. And then we will read on through verse 12. This is a letter the Apostle Paul wrote to the Colossian church. But he wrote this as he was moved by the Holy Spirit and led by the Holy Spirit. But I just want to let you know something. This book is titled Colossians. Amen. Amen. But it's also for Chiroians, Chesterfieldians,
yes.
Rubians, if we have any in here. Oh, yes, we do. All right. Mount Croggins, Pagelands, Jeffersons, Hamlets, Marvins, Wadesboro, Rockingham, and I could go on, Bennettsville, and I could go on and on and on, couldn't I? You get my point, though. This letter was written to all of us. That's the point that I'm making. This letter was written to all of us. So, beginning at verse 9, it says, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will." How many of you want to be filled with the knowledge of his will? Oh, I know I do. Glory to God. Nothing else matters to me but God's will. And I could stop right there and preach the rest of the service. Because if we're seeking after God's will, there's a lot that brings a change in our lives. Glory to God. When I'm seeking God's will, I can sing that old song I used to hear them sing when I was a little boy in the Baptist church and in some other churches. The things I used to do, I don't do no more. Y'all, anybody old enough to remember? We got a few we got a few people old enough to remember that song. The places I used to go, I don't go no more. There's been a change. And if you're seeking the will of God, it will cause a change to take place in your life. Is there an amen out here somewhere? Because it's no longer about me. It's all about him. Oh, glory to God. Amen. I didn't intend to stop right there, but I'm glad I did. All right. All right, let's try this again. See how far we get. Verse 9, for this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
That you may walk worthy of the Lord, not partly pleasing him, but what? Fully pleasing him. Hallelujah. Being fruitful in some of your works. Huh? Yeah, being fruitful in every work and what? Increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long suffering with what?
Joy.
With what?
Joy.
With joy. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. All righty. Now we're back at verse 12. Giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Praise the name of the Lord. And my subject today is the power of his salvation. The power of his salvation. Now, I'm not sure how far I'm going to get into this today. And I'm, you know, when I'm done, I'm done. Is that all right? Praise the name of the Lord. The power of our salvation. Now, I want you to notice something. I want to point out some things here, especially the three verses, verse 12, 13, and 14. I want to point out some things that he's telling us. The word of God is powerful. But I want to tell you something. If you want to grow in God and grow in the things of God, read Colossians chapter 1. Amen. Read Colossians chapter 1 and do what you read. And don't forget what you read and don't forget what you hear. Glory to God. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, notice in verse 12, though, it says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us. Who has qualified us. And I believe the King James Version says has made us meet. Amen. But hey, let me tell you something. I am no longer the person I used to be. And if you're in Christ, you're not either. At one point in our lives, because we didn't know Jesus, we were unqualified. But now we are qualified. And when you're qualified, that opened the door to things that you couldn't get otherwise. Things you couldn't have otherwise. Glory to God. And of course, we all know it begins with eternal life. It begins with eternal life, and I'm glad that I have eternal life. Anybody else in here, you glad you have eternal life? Praise God, hallelujah, Amen. You need to remind, if you're born again, you need to remind yourself every day, I have eternal life living on the inside of me. I have the Spirit of the living God living on the inside of me. I'm not who I used to be. I used to be unqualified, but because of who I have in me and because of who I know, that has changed some things for me. Amen. Hallelujah. So it says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us. Listen to this. He has qualified us. Well, before I go on, I'm going to read on, but I want to take you somewhere. Just hold your place there at Colossians and turn over to 1 Corinthians. Matter of fact, 1 Corinthians, the very first chapter. I jotted this down in my notes, so I don't want to skip it. 1 Corinthians, the very first chapter. God changed our lives. Now, in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, look at verse 26. It says, For you, say me. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh. Now, when he say not many wise, he's talking about folks with worldly wisdom. We're not talking about godly wisdom here. Not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty. Those that are mighty in their own strength, in their own way. Not many noble are what? Are called. I mean, we just read it in Colossians. That we know the will of God and walk in that will. Not in our own will. Hallelujah. Look at verse 27. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. Many of us were very foolish at one time in our lives. We thought we could have it our way, do it our way. We felt like we didn't need God. Now, you don't have to raise your hands on this one, but how many of you, especially when you're a teenager, you had to raise your hand now. Nobody could tell you nothing. Parents couldn't tell you nothing. Your teachers couldn't tell you nothing because you thought you had it all together. You were young, full of energy. And sometimes folks hold on to that stuff. Well, I got this degree and I got that degree and I've experienced this and I've experienced that. Let me tell you something. I don't care how many degrees you got. You can fill the biggest room in your house. But there's a little old grandpa that's been living 70, 80, 90, 100 years. Walking with the Lord. He may have never graduated high school. Or I say he, it could be a she, it could be a grandma. But I guarantee you something, they got plenty they can tell you. They may not have had the book knowledge, but there's something about walking with God. Some folks that's done great works for God, have been uneducated people. They didn't go to college, and I'm not knocking college. You follow me on that, right? I'm not against education. Thank God for education. Thank God we have an opportunity to get an education. Now, word to the wise, though, I would pray about where I get my education. Because you want to go somewhere where they are going to teach you and you can learn to be whatever you desire to be without them telling you your parents lied to you. Without them telling you the Bible is not the truth. That ain't what you go to college for anyway. You go to get a higher education. Anybody agree with me on this?
Amen.
You go to get a higher education, not to have your mind all twisted. So you need to pray about your higher education. I just thought I'd throw that in, but you pray about it. God will lead you. Amen?
Amen.
But let me move on. Back at verse 27. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. Did y'all grab that?
Amen.
Let me read that again. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. Many people consider the things of God foolish. You mean you believe in a God you can't see? Yes, I do.
Amen.
And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame things which are mighty. Hallelujah. And listen at this. And base things of the world and the things which are despised, what? God has chosen. God has chosen. And I want to say to you young people, and maybe some of you adults, I don't know how you grew up, but you might have felt like nobody likes me. Mama didn't like me. Daddy didn't like me. I felt like a loner. Tell you what, God not only likes you, he loves you. And he will use you for his glory. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Verse 28 again. And the base things of the world, and listen to this, and the things which are what? Despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. And you've heard me say this before. There was a time in my life when I felt like I'd be the last person God would think about calling into the ministry. And I won't go into all of it, but I was kind of on the bottom of the barrel, if you follow what I'm saying. But when you make up your mind, I'm going to follow God and I'm going to seek his will, things will change for you. Glory to God. Now, here's the thing. He does that so that no flesh will glory in his presence. I can never stand before God, and you can't either, and say, look what I have accomplished. Look at the souls that I got saved. Look at the folks that I prayed for, and they got healed. Look at this. Look at that. Look at that. No, 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 no. No, no way. Because without God's power in my life, none of it would have happened. Without Jesus Christ, I can do nothing. None of us can. Why? So we can't glory in his presence. You see verse 29, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us, what? Wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That as it is written, he who glory, let him do what? Let him glory in the Lord. Hallelujah. But God will use me. He'll use you to touch the other to touch the lives of other people as well as change our own lives. Because he qualified us through Jesus Christ. Are you still here? Glory to God. So now let's go back to Colossians. So it says in verse 12 again, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He has, listen to this, he has what? Delivered us from the power of darkness. I want you to think about that a moment. God has delivered us from the power of darkness. Satan used to be our Lord, our Father. Jesus told some folks one time, say, you're of your father, the devil. Because you act just like him. You do the things that he wants you to do. Amen. I used to be there, but I'm not there anymore. God Almighty is now my Father because Jesus Christ has delivered me and you from the power of darkness. I want go with me to the book of Revelation, the very first chapter. Revelation. And this is the Apostle John in verse 17 says, "And when I saw him," he's talking about Jesus, "and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, 'Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last.'" Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you,
Lord. Amen.
Verse 18. "I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore." And amen to that. Oh, you need to get that in your spirit, folks. Let me read that again. This is Jesus talking. He's talking to John, but he's also talking to you and me. "I am he who lives and was dead." If he was dead, that means he's alive now. "I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am." By the way, notice how many times Jesus says, "I am." Let's back up to verse 17. He said, "Do not be afraid, I am. I am the first and the last." And then verse 18, he says, "I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am." Everybody say, "I am." "I am alive forevermore." Amen. And listen at this. "And I have the keys." Now in the New King James Version, it says Hades and of death. In the King James Version, it says hell and death. Jesus says, "I have the keys of Hades and death." No wonder the Apostle Paul said, "Oh death, where's your sting? Oh grave, where's your victory?" Jesus has the key to hell and death. He, listen to me, he had the power to deliver you and me out of the hand of the devil. We couldn't deliver ourselves, but he delivered us. Glory to God. Flip backwards to Colossians again. This time I want to go to the second chapter. Colossians chapter 2. Now, I'll just pick it up at verse 9. I could read the whole chapter from the beginning, but I'll just pick it up verse 9. It says, "For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in him." Now, why don't you go ahead and say that? Because that, let me, before you say it, that will do away with all excuses. So I want you to say it. I don't want you to whisper it. I want you to say it out loud. Say, I am complete in him.
I am complete in him.
Say it again.
I am complete in him.
Point at yourself when you say it.
I am complete in him.
If you are complete in him, if we are complete in him, and of course you got to be in him. If we are complete in him, then we are not lacking in anything. Everything we need is right there for us. All we got to do is reach out and take it. Receive it. Because we're complete in him. And you're complete in him. Who is the head? Somebody shout. Who is the head of all principality and power? That's my Lord. Glory be to God. Let's read on. In him you were also circumcised. With the circumcision made without hands. By putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. And buried with him in baptism, in which you were raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. The word of God tells us that we're seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Glory to God. I was buried with him, but we rose with him. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Are you still here? Let me read that again. Having forgiven you all trespasses. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Glory be to God. Now remember, I told you where we read where he has delivered us from the power of darkness. Let's read verse 15. Having what? Spoiled or disarmed principalities and powers, he what? He what? He made a show of them openly, or made a public spectacle of them triumphing over them in it. I can imagine Jesus whipping devils up one side and down the other. Think about it. He made an open show of the devil's defeat. Which means, listen to this, he made an open show of our deliverance. Every devil in hell knows you saved. They ain't happy about it, but they know you saved. If you born again, they know about it. Every angel in heaven know you're saved. And guess what? They are happy about it. Because they rejoice in heaven over one. I'm looking forward to that day when we all get there. I want to sit down and have the angels to tell me, give me some details of how they partied the day I got saved. Because there was a holy party going on. Amen. And the same for you.
Right.
Same for you.
Yes.
Shouting and praising God. Magnifying God. And we have to constantly remind ourselves, listen, I have been delivered from the power of darkness.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
So when the enemy tries to get up in your face, you get up in his face and let him know who you are.
Yes.
And let him know who he is.
Yes.
And while you're at it, if you want to, you can go ahead and tell him about his future. Because it ain't bright at all.
That's right.
Hallelujah. So you may be having some challenges right now. Maybe your faith is being challenged in some areas. Know who you are. You have been delivered from the power of darkness. He's given you eternal life.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
And he's given us authority.
Yes. Amen.
In the earth, he's given us authority. That's the reason the Bible say things like resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Now, think about that for a moment. Resist him and he'll flee from you. That tells me that we have something and we don't always acknowledge it. But we have something given to us by God that can put him on the run.
Yes.
That will put him on the run. I haven't personally researched it myself, but I heard some ministers ministering on this some time ago. And they were talking about that verse, resisting the devil and he'll flee. And they were saying that, you know, it's in the original Greek, it's like a terrified dog. You've seen a terrified dog, man, they'll turn and run, tripping all over themselves. They don't pay attention to anything. They got to get out of your way. They got to get out. They'll run out in front of an oncoming car. But they tuck their tails between their legs and they give it all they got because they got to get out of your presence. That's the way we need to see the enemy, the devil. He may say boo to you, but you turn around and say Jesus to him. In the name of Jesus, I command you not beg and plead. I command you to get away from me. Amen. Because we have been delivered from his power. We've been made free. Hallelujah. Whew. Glory to God. Now, back in Colossians chapter 1, it tells us also that, well, it tells us that we've been delivered from the power of darkness, but we're called saints of light. You see that? Saints of light. We're God's holy people that live in the light. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Folks, let this build your faith today, will you? Amen. Glory to God. Ephesians chapter 5 says, verse 8, you were once darkness. You see that? For you were once darkness, but now you are what? Light in the Lord. Finish that verse. Amen. Which tells us you can be light, but actually live in darkness. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. We're children of light. But in 2 Timothy, it reminds us that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but a power, love, and sound mind. Verse 7. If I'm a child of the light, I shouldn't be living in fear. And this is just an example of what I'm talking about. Because fear is darkness. You ever heard folks say, Oh, he's afraid of the dark, or she's afraid of the dark. You know, in the darkness you're afraid. But we're children of light. And children of light are to walk in light, right? Well, how do I do that? Preacher, you walk in the light of the word. I am who the word says I am. I can do what the word says I can do. It's according to what God has said. We are called to walk in the light of what he has said. We are to walk in the light of his promises. Yes. What did Jesus say to John, the Apostle John, in Revelation 1? Be not afraid. Don't be afraid, John. But guess what? We're children of light, but yet if we choose to do so, we can walk in fear. We can live in fear. And that's one example. We can have a bad attitude. We can actually hate our brothers or our sisters. We can mistreat one another. Can't we? Yes, we can. But we shouldn't. We shouldn't. We should love one another. Bless one another. But we have to know what we have. Again, 2 Timothy. For God has not given us the spirit of fear. All right? So we know what he hadn't given us, but let's find out what he has. Say that again.
Power, love, and a sound mind.
Point at yourself and say it.
Power, love, and a sound mind.
Say, God has given me.
God has given me. Power, love, and a sound mind.
Say it again. And say, not fear.
Not fear.
We're told to walk in the light. Walk in the light. Hallelujah. All righty. Let me see where I want to go. Are you folks getting this? I'm not standing up here wasting your time. I want you to get this in your spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now you can write this down or you can turn over there. But in 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning at verse 9, it says... But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of what?
Darkness.
Into his marvelous light. In verse 10, it's sort of like 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Who once were not a people, but are now the people of God. Who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained what?
Mercy.
Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's go one more reference, then I think we'll stop. Romans, the 13th chapter. Hallelujah. And I want to leave you with these three verses. Look at verse 12. We have Romans 13. You can read the entire chapter if you want to later in your own time, but I want to pick it up in verse 12, Romans 13, verse 12. I want you to pay special attention to what's being said here. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. Whatever you do, don't get involved in that stuff. Amen. Now, I want to say this to you folks, and young and old. Be careful with your computer. When I say computer, I'm not talking about just a desk computer or a laptop computer, but I'm talking about your tablets. I'm talking about your cell phone, because the world's going to throw a lot of things at you. I remember when I was a young man, of course, they didn't have cell phones. But people had to hide their dirty stuff. I remember I think I'd been saved a while, but I was still a single man in Charlotte, North Carolina. And we went to visit some people there. I don't know the people. I was just with my family, my parents, and some of my family members. And I went up there. And they were visiting, and this guy, there was a guy there. And he introduced himself to me. He said, come outside with me. He said, I got something I want to show you. I think, well, okay. I mean, you know, I wasn't doing nothing else but listening to grown-ups talk. So I went outside with him. He led me to a car, opened the door, and in the foot of his car was a stack of porn magazines. I mean a stack of them. He said, man, get in, sit down, enjoy yourself. He said, you know, don't have to be in a hurry. He left me sitting there in the car. I'm sitting in the car with all these porn magazines. I was saved. Now, I'm thinking, this was a nice guy. He's a nice guy. I really don't want to hurt his feelings. But I know I shouldn't be looking at these magazines. Now, the flesh wanted to. Can I be real with you? The flesh wanted to look. Man, I mean, it was a stack of them. My parents was in the house. They didn't know what I was doing. I wanted to look. My flesh did. But my spirit said, get out of this car and get back in the house. And I'm thinking to myself, but now if I come back in the house, he's going to be offended. But on the inside of me, get out of the car, get back in the house. I got out of the car, closed the door, and went back in the house. He was in the house. I didn't say nothing to him. He ain't say nothing to me. That was the end of that. I don't know what he thought. I don't care what he thought. But I cared what God thought. But here's the thing. Now, folk can hide with the cell phone. And they have access to all that stuff. Please, Don't yield to that. Don't do it. Let me read verse 13 again. It's on the screen. Romans 13, 13. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. I don't remember how it's worded upstairs. Give me the amplified version of Romans 13, 13. Let us live and conduct ourselves honorably, excuse me, and becomingly as in the, let me read it a little bigger. Let us live and conduct ourselves and honorably and becomingly as in the open light of day, not in reviling or reveling, carousing, drunkenness, not in immorality, somebody say amen.
Amen.
And debauchery, sensuality, and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. See, we're to walk in the light, right?
Amen.
Amen. I'm curious. Let's put the New Living Translation up there. I'm just curious as to what it says. I want to read it. Because we belong to the day, we must live decent lives for all to see. Don't participate in the darkness of wild parties and drunkenness or in sexual promiscuity and immoral living or quarreling and jealousy. Well, people, we've been delivered from the power of darkness. We're people of the light, but we need to walk in the light.
Amen.
I don't like all the old songs, you know, because not all of them are scriptural. I don't want to be singing something just to be singing it.
That's right.
It needs to be scriptural.
Amen. Amen.
But some of you sisters that's my age, y'all might remember, and maybe the brothers too, but my mama used to sing this song, and I don't know the words to it, but she used to sing this song, walking around the house, doing stuff around the house. Walk in the light. Anybody remember the song? Beautiful light. What? Anybody know the words to it? I'm not going to ask you to sing it. I'm just, anybody, come to the dewdrops of mercy, so bright. Shine all around me by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world, walk in the light. Amen. Give God praise. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, let's walk in the light. We have been delivered from the power of darkness. Amen.